Brethren, I invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 46. Genesis 46. Before we read our text, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, your Son. We ask you, Father, that you would open the Scriptures up to us, that you would truly speak in power, make us to fall down before you in our hearts, contrite. Constrain us, Lord, by your love and by your grace. And we pray especially, Father, that you would bless and comfort our brethren who are suffering trials. Show them how that you have and shall continue to preserve each of your people. Lord, we pray, really ask you that you would meet with us today. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's read these four verses. Genesis 46, 1 through 4. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And Jacob spake unto Israel in the visions of the night. And he said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Now, a few weeks ago, it was the first Sunday of 2016, and I was given a very pleasant surprise. Abigail Lutter expressed her desire to confess Christ in baptism. And we're thankful for that, thankful for the Lord's grace to give her a heart to see her need of Christ. And as I talked to Abby, I told her that when you are baptized, you're confessing that from here on, you're walking in newness of life, consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder, though, that's when your warfare has really just begun. That's when sin will begin to really be troublesome. And it gets worse and worse as you go. You think, surely, you know, when the Lord calls one of his children to himself, that there wouldn't be any more trials. That there wouldn't be any more slips into sin. But that's not the case. David was a man, God says, a man after my own heart. God used him greatly. And David fell into grievous sin. And he confessed to the Lord and he said, I acknowledge my sins. And he said, my sin is ever before me. Can you say that? It's so with me. And it's so with all his people. Our sins are ever before us. Ever before us. Why has God put us in these bodies and left us in these bodies of death? Well, God has seen fit to leave his child in this body of death. Let us fall. Let us fall on our face to teach us that from the very first hour, all the way through every step, even through the grave, we need Christ constantly. constantly. The Lord said, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." That's the only place we're going to have peace is in Him. He said, "In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." I've titled this message, "Christ's Hand Upon Our Eyes." Jacob's 130 years old, and yet God sent this old believer another trial. Last time we saw God strengthened him in faith. And so he strikes out full of vigor. He's headed down to Egypt. He's going to go see his son Joseph. His son Joseph is alive. And 16 miles later, these slow-moving wagons come to Beersheba. And Israel has once again turned into Jacob. Fearful, doubting, troubled Jacob. And he stops this wagon train at Beersheba, at the well of the oath. And he begins to draw near to God. That's the wisest thing a believer can do. That's the first thing we see here. He came to Beersheba, and he offered sacrifices unto the God of his father, Isaac. It doesn't matter what new beginning you're facing. It could be the beginning of faith. It could be some new beginning facing some new trial. It could be something as momentous as facing death. Or it could be something as common as waking up to a new day. But whatever the case may be, our Lord has told us Christ must have the preeminence. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek Him first in all things. This was wisdom for Joseph to draw near. And we don't ever stop drawing near. Peter said, "To whom coming?" That's not without stop. "To whom coming? As unto a living stone. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." We don't ever stop coming to Christ. Never. It took time. You think about, here he has all his family and all these wagons and all this livestock, and he stops everything. And it took time to offer these sacrifices. But this wasn't a delay in the trip, in the journey. This was Jacob drawing near to the only one that could carry them through that journey. What do you think he did when he got there? What were these sacrifices, these offerings? He's approaching God through faith in Christ. We have to come to God in Christ, our altar. Christ is the one who makes all our feeble, sinful offerings come up to God perfect, washed in His blood. Christ Jesus is our Lamb. He's the one sacrifice that God's well pleased with because He satisfied justice for His people. He upheld God's law and honored it. And Christ is the high priest of His people. He's the one who is there in that holiest of holies, our advocate with the Father, so that God hears our petitions. This man, Scripture says, this man, there's a God-man in glory. This man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. It never changes. An unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. What do you think Jacob prayed as he drew near to God? What do you think he prayed? Well, I know that he surely thanked God that his son was alive. Thank God that he gave him all these provisions through Joseph. And that's what we come to God and we thank him that he's provided his darling son and given us full provision of grace to bring us into his presence, fully accepted in the beloved. And I'm sure that Jacob, when he drew near to God, I'm sure that he confessed his sins. I'm sure he was asking forgiveness from God. God has forgiven his people. Christ purged our sins before he ever sat down on Calvary's tree. That's what Hebrews 1:3 tells us. But even though he's purged us, washed us in regeneration, God says, I will be inquired of to forgive you of your sins. We need to always be remembering and confessing to God our need of his forgiveness. He told Israel, he said, in that day when I shall have cleansed you from all your sin. After I've cleansed you, he said, I'm going to cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste places shall be builded. And he said, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet be inquired of thee to do this for you. And I'm sure Jacob asked God's will. I'm sure he asked God to be their protector and their provider and their guide in this journey. Now, whatever you're facing, brethren, is it something new to you? We often come into new trials and new troubles and things that are new to us, uncharted territory to us. Well, do what Jacob did. Draw near to God. Come to God in Christ, and don't ever stop doing it. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in every way tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so he's able. When you draw near to him, he's able to comfort you in a way that nobody else can comfort you. That's what he can do. All right, now, he says we can find grace to help in time of need. So let's see now how God answers our petitions and gives us grace to help in time of need. Well, first we see here that our gracious Heavenly Father is faithful to answer. When you call on him, he's faithful to answer. Look here at verse 2. And God spake unto Israel. It's easy to read over something like that and just skip over it. But that's, Jacob drew near, approached him, and God spake unto him. The Lord said this, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. When you pray, believer, do you believe God hears you? Do you believe God answers you? Well, this thing right here is true of Christ. And because it's true of Christ, it's true of all of his people that come to God in him. He said in Psalm 91:14, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's true. It's really true that when you call upon God, he hears his people. He answers his people. Our Father answers us according to our need. He answers us according to our need. He knows our need sometimes when we don't know our need. And he answers us according to our need. Look here in verse 2. God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and he said, Jacob, Jacob. Something happened, didn't it? He started on this journey being called Israel. Now God addresses him as Jacob. Israel was the name that fit his inward holy nature created by God, that new spirit given him by the Spirit of God. This was that name that Christ gave him when Christ wrestled him and put him out of joint and made him to prosper with the Lord. Jacob's that name of his old sinful nature. But that was, see, this is fits where Jacob is. He's troubled right now. He's in his sinful, troubled flesh right now. And God addresses him as such because that was his need. And look at this. Jacob owned it. Jacob owned that he was helpless. He said, here am I. Here am I. He didn't say, oh no, don't call me Jacob. Call me Israel. No, he said, yes, that's me, Jacob. When your child is hurting, you got a child that's hurt. They don't have any strength. They're full of sorrow. You know what you do? You have compassion on them. You have compassion on them because you love them. That's your child. How much more, God our Father, toward you that are His children? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're dust. Jacob, Jacob, I remember what you are. I'm going to strengthen you. See, if you come to God and own your absolute, total helplessness, it's the only way you can come to God. You really cannot approach God unless you approach God as an absolute sovereign God and yourself as totally helpless to save yourself. That's the only way we can approach God. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. When you approach Him that way, and I can promise you, God will answer you exactly according to your need. And He's got a word for His child exactly according to what we need. What word is that? My grace is sufficient for thee, because my strength is made perfect in weakness. Where are you going to see God's strength manifest perfectly? When you're utterly incapable of doing anything for yourself. That's when you'll see God's strength. It's the only strength there is. Christ our strength. Christ the power and wisdom of God. So He answers us according to our need. And look at this. God answers us, reminding us who He is. Verse 3. He said, I am God. That's how He started. I am God. I am God. Jacob, you're Jacob. You're helpless. You're the sinner. But I'm God. He's the great God. He's the all-powerful God of heaven and earth. He's the Lord of hosts. That means everything in heaven and in earth, everything is at His disposal to use and to direct and to move to accomplish His sovereign will. Everything. And it means He does not change. God is the constant, unchanging, unchangeable God whose love for His people is from everlasting to everlasting. I am God, He said. And then look, He reminds us of His everlasting covenant grace. Verse 3, I'm the God of thy father. Now you remember this, believer. That's a word to you and me too. Because Isaac is our spiritual father, just like Abraham's our spiritual father. All Abraham's spiritual seed are those that God's going to bring to believe on Christ. They're His true Israel. And all Isaac's spiritual seed are God's elect. So this is word to us. He says, I'm the God of thy father. Now what does that mean? What's God saying by that? Well, God promised, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac, all your brethren, all your children are going to be called. That's why He called you who believe. Not according to our works, but according to His grace. The election of grace. That's why He called us. And so we can rest assured, He's going to call out all His people. He's going to call all His people. He's covenanted with Himself to do so. God promised this. He said, I promise that through Isaac, thy father, the Messiah, shall come into this world and He shall save His people from our sins. To Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. And Paul said, and he didn't say, and to seeds as of many, he said, to thy seed, which is Christ. Well, God did it, didn't He? Christ came into the world at the appointed time, and Christ finished the work, saved His people from our sins. So that gives us full assurance, brethren, that now, because holy justice is satisfied, God's own holy justice is the best friend you and I have now. Whereas before, God's law condemned us. Now God's law says, I demand that that child must be brought home to glory. Why? Because God's holy and justice is satisfied, and He won't charge us again because He's charged His Son already. That's what he's telling us, brethren. So he answers us and he commands us, don't fear. Don't fear, because God has and shall make good on his promise. Look here at verse 3. The next word is, fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Jacob was an old man. Jacob's 130 years old. And Jacob knows if it's left up to my strength just to even make this journey. My dad turned 69 yesterday. And we're trying to get him to come up here at the end of the month to stay with the kids while Melinda and I take a trip. And he don't want to do that. He had cancer last year. I don't blame him. He doesn't feel like it. And I thought of him when I saw Jacob here. 130 years old, and he's fixing to leave Canaan, pick up. He's not just going for a visit. He's pulling up all his roots. And he's leaving that land of promise, and he's going down there to Egypt. He's going to that land that God told his father not to go to. And he knows if it depends on my strength to make it through this waste howling wilderness to get down there, I'll never make it. I'll never make it. Don't you know that about yourself? If it depends on our strength to get through this wilderness, to get to glory, we'll never make it. But thankfully, it don't depend on our strength. Christ is our strength. And so he tells you, don't fear. Don't fear. You know, when they left here, this chapter tells us later on that when they left here, they had 70 people. 70 people. And they got down there to Egypt, and after this Pharaoh died, another Pharaoh arose, and he was mean, and he afflicted them and made them slaves. But the more he afflicted them, the more God made them to increase. And when God brought them out of Israel, there was 600,000 men plus women and children from 70 people. God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Well, Christ came into this world, and when he began in this gospel age, he called out 12 men. When he gets done, there's going to be a number no man can number. And he's not going to lose one of them. Not one of them. You can rest. Fear not. He's going to keep you through this wilderness. And then God answers this. He answers his child, assuring us of his abiding presence. Look here in verse 4. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. He said, I will go down with thee. God's all present. He's omnipresent. He's with his people all the time. Each individual child of God, he's with us all the time. And his presence is how we're preserved. His presence is how we're kept separated from this ungodly world. Surely I don't think I'm keeping myself separated. He keeps me. Well, John said he that's born of God keeps himself. Well, we're commanded to keep ourselves, but what God commands you, God brings to pass. That's the only reason we're kept by the power of God. Listen to Moses. Moses prayed in Exodus 33:16. Moses was on his way back on that journey, remember? Here's Jacob, he's on his way to Egypt. Well, when Moses was leading the people headed back to Canaan, Moses prayed to God. And I suspect this is what Jacob was praying. It's why God answered him like he did right here. I'll go with you. Moses prayed. He said, wherein shall it be known? How's it going to be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? How's it going to be known that we found grace in God's sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? God's presence. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. That's how God keeps us. God separates us. God went down there into Egypt with them, just like he said he would. That's why they made it there. And then at the time appointed, God gave them a lamb. And you know what he did? Brought them out of Egypt. Delivered them out. And you know, before God did that, God raised up Pharaoh. He raised up, there was all these obstacles, barriers preventing them from coming out of Egypt. God raised up all those barriers. He said that over in Romans 9. He said, I raised Pharaoh up for one purpose, to show my power. Show my power. And so then he provided a lamb. He brought all those children out. And he carried them. He was with them. He carried them. Christ was the rock that led them. He's the pillar of fire that led them by night. He's the cloud that led them by day. Before, in front of them, and behind them. He said, I'll go before you and I'll be your rear guard. And he carried them all the way back through that wilderness and brought them right back into the land of Canaan. That's what he's doing for us, brethren. You can rest assured of that. Now look at here. God answers us, telling us Christ shall keep us to the day we put off this sinful flesh. He's going to keep us looking to him till the day we put off this sinful flesh. Verse 4. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Strange statement, isn't it? Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. How would that be comfort to Jacob? What does that mean? Well, Joseph, as we know, is a picture of Christ. You know how you come to see Christ in the very beginning? You remember what Christ did to that blind man? He took him away from the crowd, separated him. That's what we just saw. My presence is going to separate you from the rest of the people of this earth. He separates you out. He put his hand upon that man's eyes. Put mud in his eyes. Spit upon his eyes. The man said, now I see men walking as trees. He put his hand upon his eyes. He made him see. That's how we're made to see. He puts his hand upon our eyes. And you know what we do as we're going through this journey? We come into these trials and these troubles and all these things, and we start looking at the waves. We start looking at the trial. We start looking at the trouble. We start looking at one another. We start looking in the wrong direction. How in the world are we going to be turned back to look at Christ? He puts his hand upon our eyes, turns us back to behold him. Don't put your heart on things of this world. Put your heart on me, he said. Because you're dead. Your life is at God's right hand right now. And when he comes, you'll be with him in glory. But this right here that he told Jacob, this has a special reference to something that took place when a man died. This was a privilege given to his nearest kin. When a man dies, his eyes stay open. And this privilege was given to the nearest kin to close his eyes. Joseph will put his hand upon your eyes and close your eyes when you die. That meant, brethren, that God was going to be with him the whole way, the entire way, even to the point, not only when he went down into Egypt, but when he got time to go down into that Egypt we call the grave. God said, Christ is going to be the one to close our eyes at that appointed hour. And just like it has been the whole time, He's the one who closes our eyes to things we shouldn't see now, so that He can open our eyes and make us see him. And we face death. You think every trial you face is so difficult? Well, you're coming to the ultimate trial. We're going to face death, and we're going to have just as much strength to get through that trial as you got to get through this one right now. Absolutely zero. And so if you start looking at that death, and just like you're looking at that trial right now, you're going to be extremely troubled. You know how the one way you're going to stop looking at it? You're going to close your eyes to it. Bring it through the grave, and just like he told Joseph here, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to go with you down into Egypt, and I'm going to bring you up again. And he'll close your eyes in death, and he'll be the one to open them to behold him in glory. Only Christ can do that. Only Christ can do that. So lastly now, let me just read this. Is his grace sufficient? Is his strength capable of keeping us and bringing us into that land that God has promised in glory. Look at verse 5. Jacob rose up from Beersheba. Oh, he's strengthened now. He rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives, in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. We're being carried in the wagons God has sent to carry us. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and they came into Egypt. They came there. Who came there? Jacob and all his seed with him. His sons and his sons' sons with him. His daughters and his sons' daughters and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And God lists every one of them there by name to show us he didn't leave one of them behind. Not a hair fell from one of them's head that wasn't ordained by God until he brought them into Egypt. And that's what's going to be the case with us. Look down now at verse 28. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. Christ our surety goes before us to direct our face to Goshen. Goshen means drawing near. Drawing near. He goes before us to make us draw near. To make us draw near. And they came into the land of Goshen, and Joseph made ready his chariot, and he went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen, and he presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck, and wept on his neck a good while. Don't you know? They hadn't seen each other in, I think it's something like 20 years. Jacob thought Joseph was dead. Now here he is, reunited with his son. Don't you know that was a sweet reunion? They wept a good while. Brethren, God's going to make good on this promise to us. I know that. I'm sure of that. I'm full of doubts too. But I know this. God's going to make good on His promise. The promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. There's no maybes. There's no what ifs. It's just all yes and amen. All the promises of God. He makes us to be able to say, God's made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure, and this is all my desire and all my salvation. He's going to make good on these promises. And Christ is going to lead us every step of this journey. He's going to lead us right to the grave, right through the grave, and right into glory with Him. And in that day, brethren, there'll be a difference, though. There won't be any tears. That's what he said, no tears in glory. But we'll be rejoicing. And we're going to rejoice a good while. It's going to all be good. And it's going to be a good while eternally. Eternally. Oh, brave, if it's trouble you're facing, come to God. And come to Him continually. He's answering your petition. Is He answering it right now? You've been praying to God. You know, you pray to God and you think, well, is He going to answer me? Every time we hear the gospel preach, He answers us. Is He answering you now? Well, you can be sure. God can't lie. He's going to fulfill His promise. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a comfort? Makes our troubles seem like very small right now, doesn't it? They are, in light of the glory He's going to give us. I pray He'll bless that. Let's stand together, brethren. We'll take a short break and we'll return for the service. Father, we thank You for this word. Pray now You bless it to our hearts and truly make us to enter into these great, precious promises. For Christ's sake, forgive us, Lord, of our doubting. Forgive us our doubting You. Oh, what grievous sin. Lord, make us stand by Your grace in Christ. We ask it for His glory and honor. In His name, amen.